There's already some conjecture that James Holmes may have been involved in mind-altering neuroscience research and ended up becoming involved at a depth he never anticipated. His actions clearly show a strange detachment from reality, indicating he was not in his right mind. It can only be typically accomplished through drugs, hypnosis, or trauma, and sometimes all three. This is on the InfoWars site. Colorado Batman shooting shows obvious signs of being staged. That's what we're talking about tonight. Because when something like this happens, you need to get into it. Not in 2 or 3 weeks. Immediately. Things will change. Information will change. Some of it will be vetted as correct, and some of it will be vetted as rubbish. We'll try to keep the chat clear of as much rubbish as we can when we continue with Rob Dew. He works for InfoWars, and he's our guest tonight. We'll be back with some of your calls and some emails and this and that as Saturday night, Sunday morning rolls on for some of us somewhere out there and also in here. This is Coast. Well, we can get into so much stuff that I don't know what to get into next, but I do feel compelled to ask you, do you think, going back to this deal that happened in Aurora, do you think there's a chance here that this person just broke his programming long enough to surrender?
Wow.
Or is that just too far out there?
Who knows? I mean, he could have got caught off guard by the cops and just put his hands up. Yeah, maybe that is a sign of breaking the programming. Maybe the program is you will surrender to the cops because they don't want to see cops get shot.
Okay. Well.
You know, a lot of ways to look at that. It's all going to come out more. I think it was interesting that the police chief was not talking much about the victims and talking more about the police work and the good work they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little callous on the victims. And
I'll tell you, you know, it's that deal up in Virginia and this and that. And oh, by the way, the correction on that, that Toronto deal, it seems it's 31 shot, not 31 fatalities. Does that jive with your information?
Yeah, I hadn't looked much into that.
I'm looking for it now. There's not a bunch here.
The number 31. And, you know, going back to that caller that was from South Carolina, she was talking about the information. You know, the NSA now has the ability to check every email, phone, text in real time and analyze it.
Yes.
And they store it. Be used whenever they feel like it.
I saw a story on InfoWars recently, speaking of storing information, the NSA is already actively storing everything, and it's not like a random, it's virtually everything. It's almost like that, speaking of Batman, it's almost like the Dark Knight, where they had that apparatus that could listen into everybody simultaneously and just pick who you want to listen to. It's all right there. It's already implemented. It's been rolling for some time.
And notice the mind control on that. It's this guy's got the wherewithal to then give it up later. You know, like the government will give it up. They're just going to use it this one time in this one situation. Then they will give it up if they're benevolent. No, they don't give it up. When they get power, they keep the power and expand the power. I said that's the job of government.
It doesn't produce anything except problems for the citizens. It's supposed to be the other way around, but it's not happening.
Right.
Well, let's get somebody else on the line here with us so we can just chat about whatever comes up. Let's see, we talked with Anita, so let's talk with Dean in Idaho on Wild One. If Dean is still there, we will speak with him.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Thank you for taking my call, John.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, you know, you said, because it went through my mind while we're listening to the show, you know, whether or not there's a conspiracy. I mean, over the last 20 years, forget how many years ago it was, that some gal took her Cadillac down the down the sidewalk in Vegas, I think it was, down there mowing people down. And
right.
And before that, I think there was some fella took his vehicle out on a schoolyard mowing kids down. There was, of course, that crackpot up there on some bell tower or something. Was it University of Oklahoma somewhere down in the...
Are you talking about years ago, back in the 60s?
Yeah.
That was the Austin Tower. That was Charles Whitman.
Yes, and I mean, so there is crackpots around, and you can't. You can use about anything as a weapon. I mean, whether somebody hauls gasoline into a theater one way or another and torches it and shouts fire, you'd kill more people at the exits probably. but there are crackpots around. But at the same time, your guest has brought out some, for instances, be it Ruby Ridge up here in Idaho. There was an agent provocateur of the government involved in that whole thing. I think it came out that there was an agent provocateur involved at Waco. And so you've got two things. You've got, obviously, people that are disarranged. And I think the National Rifle Association, of which I've been a life member for over 50 years, they made an analysis. Oh, I think it was... 5 or 10 years ago, you know, of the shootings, of these mass murders, and a lot of them have been on psychotropic drugs. And I wonder if your guest has really investigated this much as to where some of the chemistry of these psychotropic drugs apparently affects people's ability to judge what's sane and what's not.
Yeah, well, there was, I don't know about the psychotropic drugs, but somebody said that the man had taken 100 milligrams of Vicodin.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can't imagine that somebody could even withstand that. I've been to the dentist. I know what that is.
Uh-huh. Well, but whatever. And but we live in a complex society, but it's important to keep our feet on the ground, in my opinion, because the Constitution does not provide for martial law. And you got all these, not only the federal agencies, but they've involved state police, they've involved county mounties, they've involved city police. I mean, essentially all under the same chain of command where, I mean, somewhere along the line, it looks to me like, and then, of course, this latest defense authorization with provisions for martial law. Hey, the Constitution does not provide for martial law. It, in fact, it specifically forbids the federales from going into the states on domestic violence, that is a state violence, without the authorization of the state legislature. Now, this was in horse and buggy days, you know, or emergency authorization of governor if the state legislature cannot be timely convened. I mean, but you see all these preparations for martial law. I think perhaps whatever that we have to be careful. I mean, if this country were to exposed to a foreign power making or a suitcase nuke or whatever, I mean, I could see reason for a state providing for such things. Hey. But the idea of putting a whole nation in the capability of a martial law and a lockdown situation, now that's a little scary, and I think we could lose our freedom overnight with that sort of thing, couldn't we?
You sound like you've been around a while. Given the current state of affairs, what do you think the chances of something like that happening? And Rob, what do you think the chances are that somebody will come up with a genius idea to cause a really big false flag, great big garrison size flag, and cause this? And what would be the purpose in such a thing?
Well, I think the chances of the government or rogue elements within the government doing something like a suitcase nuke or chemical weapon drop, I think those chances are very high. An average citizen, even somebody not from this country, I don't see the chances of that happening very much. They finally tracked down where the anthrax came from with those anthrax attacks right after 9/11. Came from a bioweapons lab, the U.S. bioweapons lab.
Mm.
It wasn't some guy who made it up in his closet. And going back to the shooters on the psychotropics, Major Hassan was on psychotropics. This guy looks like he was.
Yep.
Columbine shooters were on psychotropics. And it's funny how happens, you know, they're not on, they're not taking aspirin. These guys are taking hardcore psychotic drugs that make them hallucinate.
Is it me or do the eyes look the same as the Gifford shooting?
Yeah. That guy.
I mean, they really do.
They say that guy disappeared for 2 weeks and nobody saw him. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's there. And there's some really weird stuff with the Gifford shooting. You know, people think Giffords might have, you know, was the target. But a lot of people that are talking about Judge Roll being the target additionally, and it wasn't an accident that he was killed. And he was purposely gunned down because he was investigating Fast and Furious.
Really?
Yeah.
Would that really surprise anybody? Let's see. I'm just looking at that. Let's see. Avian flu, mad cow disease, swine flu, fluoride, 9/11, the war on terror, Fast and Furious. It's just like, I'm telling you, man, it's just like one horror after another.
It is a complex world we live in. But I never see anybody, when people get run down by cars, calling for the taking cars away or taking cars off the market. There's never... there's never banning swimming pools when kids drown, which happens a lot. There's never banning football when people die or get concussions.
No.
But anytime it's gun-related, you start hearing them come out of the woodwork. It's guns, 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 because guns are what started the Revolutionary War. You know, and that was the British who fired the first shots, but they were coming after the guns of the citizens. And that's what it all goes back to. And that's why we have our Second Amendment.
Isn't it amazing? This may seem ugly to some people, but there's an ugly side. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly, remember? And this is the ugly. Every little thing that these political candidates, the big ones, the presidential candidates, we want to know if you ever got high or if you ever smoked a cigarette or if you did this or you did that or you sniffed or you inhaled and held on to it or whatever. But isn't it strange that they appear to, we want somebody that's absolutely squeaky clean, has never done anything wrong whatsoever so that they can be the leader of our country. It's like, what? First of all, they're people and that's unrealistic, but... Now, I don't think it's a good idea for a police department to say limited heroin use back in the day or crack use will not disqualify you from being a such and such metropolitan police officer. I don't think that's a very good idea unless you're going to send them in some seriously hardcore neighborhoods. But I don't think the general public has any idea how freaky and kinky some of these politicians and people in power are. I mean, take that whole Bohemian Grove bunch. And when Alex ambushed that guy and said, well, if you're not going to be a gentleman about it, it's like, gentleman about it. You know, you just said, no, I don't run naked through the woods in the newspaper, but now you're denying that you know anything about it. It's just, I don't think people understand how kinky and freaky some of these people are who are capable of wielding great power. Domestically as well as internationally. You want to comment on that or you want to leave it alone? I wouldn't blame you if you did.
No, I'll comment on that. I've seen several videos, and it's videos we posted on InfoWars, of different politicians. One was Bill Richardson being asked about Bohemian Grove. He begins to sweat profusely while denying its existence or denying that he's been there. Sweating profusely, sweating so much his aides are wiping his forehead. There's another one. And this one is bizarre. It's Newt Gingrich being asked about it. First, he autographs a picture that came, it was taken for him, it was in the Bohemian Grove yearbook. And then he denies that he was there, and he doesn't want to talk about it, He's at a book signing, and no one's there to get their book signed by him. And there's this elephant standing behind Newt Gingrich, the elephant in the room. And he doesn't want to answer the questions about it. He just tells the reporter, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. They don't like answering those questions about what they do. And these are so-called Christian conservative leaders. George Bush, both the Bushes have been there. And they don't want to talk about what goes on. And when you bring it up, they want to dismiss you as a kook or have their security run you off while avoiding the question. But they will not answer the question.
What do you make of this London situation, this London Olympics thing everybody's so worried about? Missiles all over the place, and, you know, you got people within the government saying we need to be prepared for everything up to and including, you know, a UFO visitation, and now Israel saying Mossad's like picking up a distinct possibility that somebody may try and do something ugly, some sort of a bomb thing over there or something. Do you have any intel on that at all? I'm just asking. Might not be your thing.
Well, we covered a story on that. We had a guy, he was a film producer who got into the process, and they were talking about having plans for a mass evacuation for an event at the end of those Olympics. And you can go into our Infowars.com archives and keyword search Olympic security insider. In fact, I'll pull up the headline in a little bit, and I'll let you know exactly what the headline is, because that was very interesting. He went in under the auspices of working as a security guard, and there were instances where he was offered drugs several times during the coursework, and it was happening so much, one of the supervisors said, hey, let's take that outside. Let's not do that here. Bizarre. And now they don't have enough security, so they're bringing in TSA to grow people in the Olympics, which are supposed to be about goodwill and between nations.
Well, a lot of people think that even discussing this means that we're just up all night worrying about all these things, all these boogeymen that are out to get us. But again, I reiterate, and I'll do it many times, some of this stuff just doesn't look so cut and dry. It just doesn't. There's just too much overlap and too much similarity to other stuff that's going on. It's like, I don't know. But maybe with a few stalwart, justice-seeking individuals like yourself out there, maybe we can at least exact a small measure of justice, maybe slow them down a little bit. But it's going to, some people would suggest that there's not enough time to get rid of all the politicians and judges and so forth that'd be necessary to get rid of before anything could actually be done. I just sort of wonder if we're running out of time before we have to sit through, a worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Well, it would definitely be worse because, well, we don't grow a lot of our own food anymore. That's being controlled. It's genetically modified stuff out there. And it does seem a little scary to think about all this stuff, but I'd rather be thinking about it and be preparing for it than not be prepared and wake up one day going, WTF, you know, where did the world go? I have no idea what I'm going to do. You know, I have plans. I suggest other people make plans.
All right.
A big one's to get to know your neighbor. Talk to your neighbors.
And we will continue with our final segments with our guest tonight, Rob Dew from InfoWars Nightly News. When we continue, I feel so mellow here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I was trying to pull up a page that says Colorado shooting compared to Tuscaloosa shooting. Go ahead, you try it 10 times. Try it just once at this hour. And I get the error 404. That was from WKRG-TV a day ago. So that didn't get much play after this. But there's a lot of shooting. I mean, do we notice that these things seem to happen in little groups? And then I'd hate to think they know each other, because that means they all trained together and all did the same psychotropic drugs together, I would presume. Certainly a case could be made for it. What do you make of that, these things happening? It's not copycat. It's just, is it just coincidence or something larger?
Could be coordination, especially with that UN treaty 5 days away. And they're going to, on July 27th, they're going to talk about signing it. And, a couple more shootings could be all they need for that slam dunk to get it signed and then executive orders to be written in order to, take more rights away.
Yeah, and I don't understand why our present caller on decided to comment about that. He's got his hands full down there. He doesn't need to be talking about this. I'll tell you what, we have on the international line, Catherine from Toronto. Maybe she can straighten me out on these numbers and all the shooting that's going on up there if she wants to talk about that, which we won't know until she comes on the program and I let her talk. So, Catherine, talk to us.
How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Well, I am up here in Toronto, and we've got a bunch of stuff going on. Certainly, we've had this last couple of months. We had a shooting at the Eaton Center, where one of the people who survived that was a woman, Jessica Redfield, who was then shot in Colorado. Hello?
Now say that again.
Well, one of the women who survived the shooting, there was five people were injured at the Eaton Center. It's a huge mall downtown. And
yes.
On the June 2nd weekend, she was down there with her boyfriend, and she was visiting from the States, and she somehow realized, oh, there was something going to happen, and she left just to find herself being shot in Colorado the other night.
Wow.
That day, there was five people injured, two people killed. The other day, on the July 16th, we had a huge rampage shooting. It was a big block party. The whole street was closed down. There was 19 people shot there, injured, and there was two of them were killed, one of them being a baby. Then
in Toronto.
In Toronto, where we're not allowed to have guns. This is my problem. This is one of the reasons. And then, there was also a shooting in Little Italy during the soccer tournaments. There was a just complete. The guy walked into the Sicilian ice cream shop and just shot two guys right there and walked out, dropped the gun, left, took off his disguise, and they're still not sure who it is that they haven't found him yet. There was another shooting on Canada Day down at the beaches where they were having fireworks, which is our equal to your July 4th. And this week alone, there's been, since that shooting on Sunday, there's been another six shootings to death and three stabbings, one with a machete. So we've got some problems up here. And what my question is, I grew up in a military family. And as a six-year-old, I got in big trouble at school when it finally dawned on me that hiding under the desk when the air raid sirens were happening, if anything was going to happen, the desk wasn't going to save my life.
Right.
So we were sent down to get the strap for not behaving. But it seems like all my life I've been sort of preparing for this. I learned how to shoot and protect myself. I've been, an avid runner and, tried to stay on top of it. When my husband died a few years ago, God rest his soul, I didn't have my permit to have the gun. So they took all of our guns, which was, we had an SKS, three shotguns, and a couple of birding guns, for food. So, and now they're talking after this particular rampage this week that they're going to ban the bullets. You can't even be able to buy bullets here. So what are we supposed to do?
Let me ask you this. Are you Canadian? You sound Canadian.
Oh, yeah. I'm from Calgary, Alberta.
Okay. So you've lived up there most of your life?
All of my life. I've spent time in your country, though.
Well, excellent. And Canada has always been a good friend to us. And, let me just ask you this. I know it's just one lady's opinion, but isn't this sort of abnormal for Canada? They're not known for gun violence up there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that I agree with you that there's something going on a bigger level. I'm wondering whether they can be tweaking people with HARP. I know Tesla was very much aware of the fact that through the ionosphere that they can actually affect the people's psyche. And I'm wondering whether these, there was a guy with his head cut off a few years ago. The whole family was just killed by their mother, a loving family was stabbed to death at dinner time, and the week later. And it was just like there was a wave. It went from China to BC to Saskatchewan to Ontario to Newfoundland within a week. All of these really weird stabbings and slashings happened. And now it's happening with the guns. So I'm wondering if they could be doing something like that with HARP.
Well, what do you think about that, Rob?
Well, there's also been a rash of naked zombie attacks, too. What's going on with that? I mean, it's like we are being programmed through all the violence and, you know, violence, the mayhem that goes on, the zombie flicks, the psychotropic drugs, the Wi-Fi signals, the smart meters, the fluoride. I mean, it's all just one. It seems we have built ourselves into a mess and people aren't awake. I found a little information on your Tuscaloosa shooting. Police say Nathan Wilkins had only one gun, an AK-47. He fired some shots into a bar, sent 17 people to the hospital, and then he wandered off and then stopped to turn himself in at a FedEx building in Jasper. That's the interesting part. Why would he just stop and turn himself in?
Federal Express. That sounds official.
Yeah, they're so easy to catch after they do these horrendous crimes. Then they just go, okay, I'm done. And the same with the guy in Norway. Kind of gave up.
Yeah, isn't that strange? There's no more of that, you'll never take me alive, copper. That mentality's not there anymore.
No. These are almost like the perfect soldiers. They go out and execute the perfect crime and then give themselves up.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, let's talk to Art in Boulder. If Art is there, please come aboard.
Yes. Hi, George. Hi, Rob. How are you doing tonight?
No, it's not George, it's John, but George will be back on Monday.
Sorry, John, I apologize.
No worries. And George Knapp will be on tomorrow night.
Oh, my bad. I work for the Daily Camera in Boulder, Colorado here. It's a newspaper.
Yep.
And basically my question for Rob is, I think that they're going to use this particular horrendous tragedy to basically take away our, you know, right to bear arms. Me, myself, I think that you know, this particular shooting, it reminds me, I'm a native Coloradoan, and it reminds me of Columbine. And it really kind of made me very upset because I was, delivering the newspaper. And I get the news about 15 minutes after it happened, almost 20 minutes after it happened. And it bothers the hell out of me because, you know, if there was maybe some guys in that particular multiplex that had some, concealed weapons or something, they might have been able to stop this man, as far as I'm concerned. And so, they're going to use this particular thing to, I feel like, a false flag operation to say, see, we need to take away, people's, right to own guns because it's all about the gun. And that's all it is. You know, that's all these people think, and they're going to use this to pass laws to push the one world order that they're already trying to get. So what do you think about that, Rob?
I think you're right on the money. This does have a lot of telltale signs. We have a video up. I'm going to throw out the headline, Proof Government Stages Mass Shootings, Batman Massacre Decoded. And that's Alex Jones laying it all out of all the different shootings that have happened. He goes into Mumbai, Columbine, Nadal Hassan. They all seem to have these telltale marks. These guys are on some sort of drug. They withdraw from everyone they know. And then all of a sudden, boom, something makes them crack. And so I agree with you. There's definitely something fishy, and we should not take what's being said as face value. There's already a new suspect in the there's reports that someone else may have helped this guy. And, we're going to keep looking at it from all angles. And we were talking about the Olympics earlier. This was exclusive to us. Whistleblower reveals plan to evacuate London during Olympics. And that was the undercover journalist that we were telling you about. He actually brought his story to several major news agencies in England, and they didn't want to run the story.
Evacuate London?
Yeah, during the Olympics. And the sub-headline is 200,000 casket linings on standby, as undercover journalist who infiltrated, says undercover journalist who infiltrated the security team. And then 20 days before that, we published an article, Rockefeller Foundation predicts 13,000 dead at London 2012 Olympics, They predicted this back in 2010, and their document was entitled Scenario for the Future of Technology and International Development, in which they call this decade that we're living in now the Doom Decade.
The Rockefeller Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's their quote. The years 2010 to 2020 were dubbed the Doom Decade for good reason. The 2012 Olympic bombing, which killed 13,000, was followed closely by an earthquake in Indonesia, killing 40,000, and a tsunami that almost wiped out Nicaragua.
And what is the purpose of them writing this?
It could be predictive programming, or maybe they know something we don't.
Now, one more time, Rob, I'm a poor student sometimes, especially when the information is dense. This publication originated when?
2010.
And they're laying this out for a decade's worth of trauma?
Yeah, the Doom Decade is what they call it. And I'll give you the headline again. Rockefeller Foundation predicts 13,000 dead at London 2012 Olympics.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And there's, I saw the other day someone sent, I love the email tips because people are always out there scurrying. I got sent one, and it's a Chinese advertisement, I guess, but it's all animated, and it's taking place in a soccer stadium in London. But when the camera rises up, you see London in flames and mushroom clouds and Big Ben on fire, completely apocalyptic.
Wow.
It's like they're telling us something's going to happen.
Isn't it funny that the bad intentions are always revealed, but a lot of times people just don't want to hear it, or they don't allow themselves to hear it.
Or we find them after the event happened, and we're like, wait a minute, they were trying to tell us something. Maybe we should start looking at these things before the bad events happen. They're putting missiles on top of rooftops.
Yeah, and the citizens didn't like that very much. You know, missiles on rooftops. Okay, so if an aircraft gets within range of those missiles, it lands where after it's been hit? Is that why we need to evacuate London? I mean, I don't get it, man. I don't understand what they're so worried about. There sure are a lot of jumpy security people out there, though.
Oh, yeah, they literally want to stick their hands in your pants.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through the naked body scanner procedure, the preliminaries. I said, I understand these things aren't really safe. Oh, they're absolutely safe. And as a matter of fact, you get less radiation than from a cell phone. I went, you're kidding me, right? I said, well, would it be okay with you if I took this Geiger counter through just so I could see? And he wouldn't let me do it, so I took the pat down.
Wow. Yeah, you don't cover your entire body with cell phone signals. You notice that?
But they cover. Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, with these terahertz waves. That actually, they've done studies, and they can actually unzip DNA. They can resonate with the DNA and actually unzip the strands.
Isn't that weird? It unwinds the helix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that.
So.
And the thing about it is some people hearing this, and I'm sorry to report this, but some people who are hearing this, not you, but some, just think we're absolutely a couple of nutcases just talking about everything that we can possibly think of that's scary, because we are scaremongers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not true. I mean, but some people have asked, how come you're around? And how come Rob's around? How come Jones is around if you guys are talking about this? I don't think it'd look very good if any of us disappeared. Let me just state for the record, once again, I'm not suicidal. So if you hear that happen, then you'll know it's a damn lie, okay?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and state it too. I am not suicidal. I love life, love my family, and I want to be here for a long time. And I want this country to succeed and, become the fountain of invention that we used to be.
You know, the thing about it is, this is what really gets me, Rob, is that as we're winding down here, you've been a real trooper to hang in here for this and take calls and just share this stuff with us, because you're on the inside of an organization. Of course, Alex comes on, but he's got a topic, and you and I were just able to chat. The thing that really concerns me is that it seems like a good bit of the world thinks that we're really spoiled and really awful, and America does this and America doesn't do that, and they're warmongers and they're this. You know, people think that they're going to grab their bug-out bags and leave. And my question is, and go where? And what makes you think that if something really cataclysmic were to happen, that Americans might not become the hunted wherever they went in the world just because? Is anybody looking at that you've read? Rockefeller Foundation got any crystal ball action on that scenario?
Well, I do know that the elites are moving out of here pretty quickly. There was a report about James Cameron buying a giant farm in New Zealand and living. And I would say he's probably one of the one percenters.
Yeah, probably.
You know, the Bushes have an enclave down in South America right on top of an aquifer.
When are we going to see you next on InfoWars?
Oh, you know, I try to do it about once a week, but we are bringing in new crews and stuff. And let me tell you, it's been fun. We're approaching a year doing the InfoWars nightly news. And it's been, you know, it is trench work every day, getting a show ready every day with a small crew that we have. But we do it, and all my guys are committed. And, you know, I just want to commend them for all the work they do. Commend Alex for letting us do that work. And, you know, because really without him, there wouldn't be, you know, an InfoWars organization without his determination. And he's really taken the ball and thrown it to us and let us come out and, you know, help wake people up, because it takes a lot of people to wake a lot of people up. Not going to take.
Yes, it does. Well, I commend you on being into it as deeply as you are. And I want to thank you for coming onto the program tonight and sharing your insights and so forth from a guy who gets around and looks into this stuff. Wish we had more time, but we don't. Hope you'll come back on the program sometime.
Sure, I'd love to. And I'd like to say hi to everybody out there and hope we'll woke some people up. That's what it's all about.
According to this email box, you did. Thanks again. Take care, Rob. Rob Dew from InfoWars Nightly News. We'll be talking to him again sometime. Remember, adversity may come, but so what? And remember this. Adversity doesn't build character. It reveals it. Until next Saturday night and beyond, everybody, be well.